The Firehouse Follies are made possible by Fiddlin' Joe Enterprises with minor assistance from WFHB Community Radio.
Well, we should be getting to Bloomington any time now, Dave.
Oh, God, I was sleeping. No, you're a Hoosier, Phil. You've been there before.
Oh, yeah.
Is it like the edge of the world, I hear?
No, Bloomington's not the edge of the world, Dave, but you can see it from here.
Mr. Brockton, Mr. Osmond, could you please bring your carry-on luggage to the front of the airplane?
Well, what is this all about?
Yeah, well, let's go and see. Excuse me.
Wait, hey, here, get off of me.
Oh, steerage seats. Okay.
Yeah, fish is so damn cheap.
And the sheep.
All right, here's your bag. Let's go.
Okay.
Mr. Osmond?
It's Osmond. That's me. He's Proctor.
We'll be over Bloomington soon. It's almost time for you to the plane.
Well, aren't we going to land first?
No. Indiana's flyover country. Here's our co-pilot.
Wait.
Here's our co-pilot with your chutes.
Chutes? Wait, what?
What do you mean chutes?
There's two of you, so I brought a pair of chutes.
Just put these straps
on your shoulders and tighten them up. Don't forget to inflate your shoes. Okay, all ready. Well, when I open the door, you guys jump.
Wait a minute, Mr. Brockton, it was such a pleasure to meet you. I met your partner once, Mr. Gamble. Mr. Osmond, are you related to Donnie?
No, I don't know Donnie.
Listen, the door is open. Don't forget to pull your shoes.
Oh my gosh. We made it. Are you okay, Dave?
Yeah.
Whoa. Oh, we're in a field.
Yeah.
Is this Bloomington?
I don't know.
It looks small.
Well, it's flyover country. I don't know. Oh, wait. The big building?
Huh?
Must be the venue. We love venues.
They all look the same. Sandstone.
They're a couple of quaint peasants. They do speak English here in Bloomington.
Well, in a manner of speaking.
Yeah. Well, okay.
Excuse me, friends.
Guys,
is that the Waldron Weichart Sandy Walker Auditorium over there?
No, this ain't Bloomington. This is Trevlak.
That's
our garbage processing center, and that's our art gallery. Lots of fine etch sketch drawings in there.
The People's Republic of Bloomington's a few miles from here. Just keep bearing left.
Trevlak sounds like something out of Star Wars.
What?
We have to get somewhere because we're going to be on the air. Can we get there by 4?
Yeah.
No, sure, if you don't mind riding a llama.
What?
A llama?
Yeah. This is a llama line. It's public transportation here in Trevlak.
Well, then, my good man, call me a llama.
Well, if you insist, you are a llama.
Our best llamas are free now. Dolly? Lou?
Dolly?
Wait
llama?
A minute. Dolly? Yeah? What? Come on.
Riding him is a spiritual experience.
Yeah, uh-huh. It's a religious thing not falling off.
Okay. Lurch on llama. There we go. Wait a minute.
What's this?
Snow? Snow in June?
Oh, it'll change.
Yeah.
Peculiar weather we're having. Now it's a thunderstorm.
Yeah, the sun will be out soon. It's mighty hot this time of the day.
Well, that's it.
We're in Bloomington now.
Yeah. Hey, what's up?
Be careful. This here is one of them new three-way streets. Watch them scooters. The Waldron's right over there. It's almost 4.
Thanks for the ride.
How much do we owe you?
Oh, no, listen, the llamas are free.
Free?
It's all part of the new transportation plan aimed at getting the cars off the streets and onto the sidewalks where they do belong.
Oh, scooters, 9 o'clock. Watch out. Look out. Whoa.
Come over this way. All right. All right. Here.
Look. Elevator, that's the elevator to the auditorium.
Okay. Okay, this must be our floor. Follow me through here.
Okay, I'm coming.
In just a moment, please, gentlemen.
No time, really. We're in a hurry. No autographs.
Come on, buddy. Show us your wristband.
Huh?
You gotta have a wristband, my man.
But we're the guests. Yeah. I mean, the show can't go on without us.
Hey, if you don't have a wristband, you can't get through the door.
Well, now what are we gonna do?
Look, I'm going to create a disturbance, okay, right?
Yeah.
Oh, look, there's a naked lady right over there.
And she doesn't have any clothes on!
Look at that! Oh, my goodness.
Hey, no bra, no shirt, no service.
Where is she? I can't see her.
There's Richard Fish. Come on, hurry.
Hey, dang it, I must have missed her. Hey, it's about time you two guys got here. Now we're going to have to dock your pay.
What pay?
Well, cue the kazoos. Live from the Waldron Weikart Proctor Osmond Auditorium, it's the Firehouse Folly!
Extravaganza coming to you live from the Ivy Tech Waldron Weikart Blackwell Greenwell Bedwell Auditorium in beautiful Bloomington, Indiana. We're proud to welcome what's left of the Fireside Theater, our special guests David Osmond and Phil Proctor. But wait, there's more. We also want to welcome special guest Gary Sandy up from his home near Lexington, Kentucky. And our musical guests, Amy Walker and Nipun Nair. Also, that's right. Also here today are the lovely and talented WFHB Gospel Girls and the faithful Firehouse Rounders. And, of course, you'll be getting your fill of the often indigestible humor of the Unusual Suspects radio acting troupe, garnished by our special guests, with seasoning provided by Tony Brewer on sound effects. Today's show is made possible by Upland Brewing Company, the Bloomington Writers Guild, and Ivy Tech Community College, with additional support from the Graduate Hotel and Spring Hill Suites, and from Carson's Barbecue, D'Angelo's, and Lenny's. Some strange things will happen here today, folks. And here are the Gospel Girls and the Rounders with some hints about that.
Oh, we hear church people say they are in this holy way. There are strange things happening every day.
Every day.
On that last great judgment day, when they drive him all away, there are strange things happening every day.
Every day.
Every day.
Every day.
Every day.
Every day.
There are strange things happening every day.
Every day.
Every day.
Every day.
Every day.
Every day.
There are strange things happening every day.
Every day.
If you want to view the climb, you must live right all the time. There are strange things happening every day.
Every day.
If you hear right through the lies, you can live right all the time. There are strange things happening every day.
Every day.
Every day.
Now Jesus is the holy light. He's turning darkness into light. There are
strange things happening
every day.
Every day.
Oh, he gave the blind man sight, and he thanked him with all his might. There are
strange things happening
every day.
Every day.
Every day.
Every day.
Every day.
Every day.
Every day,
every day,
every day,
every day,
every day,
every day.
every day.
Every day.
There are strange things happening on the show today.
On the show today.
WFHB Gospel Girls and the Firehouse Rounders. Well, we'll get this show underway as soon as possible, but first, two of the strangest things that will happen today, Richard Fish and Colonel Mike Kelsey.
Oh, thank you, Dan, I think, for those kind words. And Colonel Kelsey, I think we've outdone ourselves this time.
I think we probably have. I look around, I wonder if I'm in the right room. There are so many people out there. Yes, I'm honored that David, Phil, Gary, Amy, and Nipun have come all the way out here to fly over country just to play in our sandbox for a couple of hours today.
Yes, as are we all. You know, Phil Proctor is originally from Goshen, Indiana.
Are we there yet?
And he is of Amish-Irish descent. I heard that his family left Indiana in a horse-drawn buggy hauling a trailer with 2 tons of cow hooves.
Despite these strong ties to Indiana, the Firesign Theater had never performed here until last Friday when they did a very successful two-man show at the Brown County Playhouse.
How many of you were at that show? Yeah. That was a lot of fun. Well, also, Gary Sandy is here making his 4th appearance at the Firehouse Follies. And Amy Walker and Nipun Nair have come all the way from Hollyweird for this show.
You'll have a chance to meet them all as the show progresses. But I think it's time to get this bozo-filled bus on the road. What say, Richard?
Well, my mother was a bozoette in school.
Well, get comfortable. It is gonna be a great ride.
OMG! Huh? Do you know who you are?
Huh?
I'm sorry. I'm an actor, and you'll never believe this, but I played you.
Do I know you?
Well, I don't know. Maybe you know me from the This Is My Hat commercials.
I don't think
or
so.
Or the Bladder Beer campaign.
Yeah.
How long can you hold it, cowboy?
I've seen that, yeah. I know that one, yeah.
Or you probably recognize my voice from the hottest Gen X online game, The World of Warfare, huh? Yeah. I play the Addictor.
Well, I'm really just a boomer. I just do the email. I don't know anything about the games.
I know, but
my thumbs are bad.
I know you inside out because I was you. Well,
what are you talking about? Look, my friend, I got to go somewhere. I'm late now, you know.
Don't we all? Look, you're a Civil War reenactor, right?
Well, yeah, that's right.
Okay,
yeah.
You reenact famous battles, and you live the way they did, right?
Yeah.
Sleeping in tents, peeing right into the stream.
Yeah, well, it does get pretty intense. Yeah, that's a joke we have amongst the recreators.
I see.
Well, how'd you know that about me?
Well, you know, from the cable documentary, dummy, on the Geopolitical Channel, where I learned that your distant relatives fought in the war between the states on opposite sides.
Well, you know, I know I was interviewed briefly. It was after the 14th Battle of Gettysburg, and I'd been inhaling gunpowder about all day, so I don't really remember what I said.
Oh, let me remind you.
Yeah.
You were forced to fight against your brother.
Yeah.
Your actual brother, your real brother, your blood brother. And you killed him in cold blood.
I did?
You were twins, just from different mothers.
Are you playing me now? Hey, for the sucker, you just pushing my buttons,
buddy. Oh, I played you. Oh, yes, but not as a sucker. And I'm sorry if you have button issues.
Well, it is trouser buttons, you know, because zippers weren't invented yet for these uniforms. So, but okay, explain yourself to me.
Okay,
I don't know.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
I just wrapped a role in a com-drama about Civil War reenactors.
Oh.
And it's streaming now while I speak. Yeah. And the writer-producer, John and Jeff Adam.
Yeah.
Adam. Huh? They're always fighting over who gets top billing. I'm sorry, it's a show business joke.
Well, you're in show business and I'm in the battle business.
Show business is the battle business.
Yeah.
But you see, this hot young team introduced vidcast into dentist offices. Uh-huh. It numbs everybody, okay? But now, they're millionaires.
Yeah.
I mean, who knew? They're super producers now, like Norman Lear.
Who?
Norman Lear.
Who? What?
Boy, the way Glenn Miller played.
Uh-huh.
Huh? Oh, okay. Never mind. Anyway, while searching for content, they stumbled across this story, which inspired them to write the cable series, Brother, Why Art Thou?
No, brother.
Yeah. And they cast me as you. And the funny part is, it had nothing to do with my audition. It was just a look.
A look at what?
A look at me. They thought I looked like you.
Oh, come on. You don't look a thing like me.
Makeup.
You're putting me on.
No, not you. Me. They put it on me. Expensive makeup.
Like the kind my wife uses. That's costly.
No, I'm talking movie makeup, you know, prosthetics.
Oh, come, please, leave sex out of this. We got a bunch of people here that they don't want to know about that.
I'm sorry, I keep forgetting you're really a civilian. Prosthetics, like Quark on Star Trek, Armin Shimerman.
No. Who?
All right. Oh, never mind. I got it. Prosthetics like Mr. Spock's ears.
I thought they weren't real.
And by the way, I have your nose at home in a jar.
My nose? In what kind of jar?
Who cares? It's a souvenir from the shoot. I stole it.
You stole my
nose? No, it was a rejected nose. Okay. It was one of the experimental ones. They left it in the oven too long. It was runny.
All right, now, you stop with them noses. I don't know who you are, what you hope to get out of this, but I got to admit, well, it's fascinating. I guess I'm willing to buy it.
And I'm selling it, okay, on eBay.
My nose? How? Now, tell me, how are you playing me? I mean, who am I?
Well, for me, I'm playing you as a divided man in a divided country, conflicted, guilty, forced to fight against your brother when you loved your brother.
Really? I'm used to running across the field with my musket trying to keep my trousers up. That's about it.
I understand, but I did my homework. Okay, did you know that your great-grand-uncle was known as the fighting podiatrist of Salem County?
Golly, I didn't know I had a great-uncle.
But, of course, you wouldn't know. I write out a backstory.
Backstory.
It's part of the process. And the fact is that he had an estate in Salem, Massachusetts, on land his uncle purchased at a jolly price from deceased witches.
He got burned.
No, they got burned.
No.
They got burned. He got the deal he ashed for.
Oh.
And that was your great-great cousin, twice removed.
Twice removed? Does that mean he crawled back in? Look, I'm trying to follow
you now. I understand.
You know?
Okay, it's all right.
Okay.
But it really doesn't matter. The fact is, there were two sons by two different mothers, and the boys ended up on two different sides in the war. And Harry, you ended up recreating the part that I am now recreating for comic effect.
No. Did you call me Harry just now?
Well, sure. You're Harry Floint, the sibling slayer.
Oh, now, I'm really sorry, but you got to wait a minute here. Harry Floint is my captain.
What?
Well, he plays my captain in our stage battles. His wife made him an officer's uniform, and I'm just Billy Whistle. I'm a common soldier.
Billy Whistle? Is that a stage name?
No. What's my real name? Billy Whistle.
I really blew it. Sorry.
I thought I heard them all, but that's a new one on me. Thank
all right.
you. Whoa.
Well, gee, I mean, thank you, Mr. Thistle. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry to have taken up your precious time.
I heard that from Bobby Dylan.
Yeah. All right, have a great day.
Yeah, well, you too. Yeah, I guess.
Oh, wait, say, did anybody ever tell you, you look a lot like Harry Floint?
David Osmond and Phil Proctor, ladies and gentlemen. And now let's hear from our musical guests, Amy Walker and Nippon Nair, also known as Cuttlefish.
That's right, we're Cuttlefish. Can you guess where we came up with the title?
All right.
We got a couple songs for you.
Down around the corner, a half a mile from here, you see them long trains running, and you watch them disappear without love.
Train rolling for you. And this one is an original. The dams and we are free,
But the fear that tells us to divide is love believing the disguise. Though we hear the battle cries, we are the peace that fills our lives. Feel the call from inside you, let it guide you through it all. Standing tall, now's the time for us to rise into our hearts. Take the walls that divide you, deep inside you, build a home for it all. Once and for us all. One day we knew the time had come. Forgave the battles lost and won. Then joining hands to get it done, we built a world for everyone. And as all doubts and fears arose, we listened in and let them go. Release the past and let it go. Now filled with love, our power grows. Feel the call from inside you, let it guide you through it all. Standing tall, now's the time for us to rise into our hearts. Take the walls that divide you, deep inside you, build a home for it all. Siente el amor dentro de ti, vamos juntos tú y yo. No existe divisiones, levantemos el corazón. Deja que tu llamado te guíe, compártelo al mundo. Feel the call from inside you, let it guide you through it all. Standing tall, now's the time for us to rise into our hearts. Take the walls that divide you, deep inside you, build a home for it all, once and for us all.
Thank you. Here's one you might recognize the tune to, but we wrote some special words just for you.
Playing Indiana is not the words California expects to hear. It's not that we don't want to. It's just the cold and seasons that we fear. But how easy it has been to fall in love with here, Bloomington. Why did you not tell us we've got sun? Then we wouldn't have to run back to L.A. We'd be here to stay. What a breath of fresh air, from honking cars to honking geese to spare. Your stars fill up the night sky. In Hollywood, our stars just walk on by.
Let's take a selfie. It's going to be amazing. You're all going to be in it. So good.
Hold us close. Don't ever let us go. Bloomington, why did you not tell us you've got sun? Then we wouldn't have to run back to L.A. 'Cause we'd be here to stay. What would you do if you were in our shoes? Then you all would feel it too. We'd all say I love you. What would you say if we brought you to L.A.? Then you all would feel it too. And we'd all say I love you. Thank you.
have one more song for you. This is the first one we ever played together in front of anybody, which was in the Appalachian Mountains on a trip.
Nair. They go by the name Cuttlefish. Amy, as you're about to find out, is a multi-talented performer who always wanted to be a Shakespearean actress.
Oh, proud left foot that ventures quick within, then soon upon a backward journey live, anon once more the gesture then begin. Command sinistral pedestal to writhe. Commence thou then the fervid hokey poke. A mad gyration, hips in wanton swirl. To spin a wild release from heaven's yoke. Blessed dervish, surely thou canst go, girl. The hoke, the poke, banish now thy doubt. Verily I say, 'tis what it's all about. Time Travel Enforcement Division, Rosemary speaking. I knew you were going to call. Sorry, you're looking for the head of the Time Travel Ethics Department. That would be Lieutenant Parsley. Is he an expert? Oh, yes, he's a real sage. No, he's not here at the moment. Is there something I can do for you? You're calling from 200 years ago and you want to slap a mosquito? No! Under no circumstances should you kill that mosquito. It could completely change the timeline. You might not even be born. Hello? 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 Darn it. I didn't see that coming.
Hey, Sarge, there's a couple of guys here who want to talk to you.
Sure. Well, what can I do for you, gentlemen?
Well, Sergeant Rosemary, is it?
Mm.
My friend and I wish to travel back in time for a research project.
Yes, a research project. Nothing more, nothing sinister, just a research project. No one will get hurt.
Is that so? What kind of a research project did you have in mind?
We are writing a graphic novel about the Firesign Theater.
That's true. The Firesign graphic novel.
Well, they were pretty novel. What's this graphic novel called?
The Firesign Theater. The Prequel.
Prequel?
Yeah, that's where all the money is.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you know, backstories, origin tales. That's why we need to go dark.
But the Firesign Theater is already renowned for saving the world from the Electrician.
That's a lie. They never defeated the Electrician. He lives. I tell you, he lives.
And you know this because...
Believe me, Sergeant.
We know it.
Hold it. I'd know that voice anywhere. You are the Electrician. And you're someone like him.
You are correct, pathetic mortal. The Electrician, Simba.
And you will regret having this knowledge. That stunned her good.
Yeah, she was stunning.
We must commandeer this time capsule and go back in time to 1966 as we answer the question...
How can we be in two places at once when we're not anywhere at all?
Sarge, are you okay? Come on, wake up. Sarge.
What happened?
Oh, good. You're awake. You can stop slapping me now. That guy just zapped you with a Tesla or something. I don't know.
I remember now. Officer Krupke, quick. Charge up the TTC B-98. We must stop these two at all costs.
Are they bad guys, Sarge?
How can I explain this? Officer Krupke, they're no good, they're no good, they're no earthly good. The best of them is no damn good.
Oh.
The TTCE B-98 is fully equipped with the time capsule tracking software. That will allow us to follow them.
Who are these guys, Sarge?
Well, one is the Electrician. The other is someone like him. The Firesign Theater short-circuited the Electrician many years ago. Well, rumor has it that he's now charging lime scooters for a living.
I wonder how much he charges.
Wear a helmet if you're going to make a joke like that. All right, you drive. I'll navigate.
All right.
Setting course for Los Angeles, 1966. Put in 3 dimes.
Okay.
Engage.
Forward.
Into the past. We're close. Scan for the Electrician and someone like him.
Okay, activating scanner. Uh-huh. There's a... Oh, there they are, Sarge, hiding in that cloud of smoke.
Now that's smog, Krupke. It was a problem here once, but thanks to the Firesign Theater... Smog was a problem here once, but thanks to the Firesign Theater, smog no longer plagues mankind.
Oh, wait a minute. You're saying the Firesigns got rid of smog?
That's right, Officer Krupke. They cleared the air and replaced the smog with the kind of smoke people were happy to inhale. In fact, every advance, everything good in our culture today, it all originated with the Firesigns. All of it. But now the Electrician threatens to unravel this lovely skein of goodness to reveal the dark underbelly lurking beneath the surface.
Ah, that's quite a yarn, Sarge.
what can we do?
Well, darn it, Krupke. Don't ball things up. Put us in the parking lot behind that building.
Okay.
It's KPFK, the public radio station where the whole crazy story began.
Well, Sarge.
Or where it was conceived, even.
Oh, well, gee, Sarge, you don't have to conceive if you use
it. Hey, don't go there, Krupke. This is a family show.
All right.
Look, they've disguised themselves as network executives.
Aha.
Dial them in.
Right.
Hey, Wolfman plays the best records in the business, baby, then he eats them.
Ah, the Wolfman. Too much, too soon. Find Radio Free Oz.
Okay. Must be on the left end of the dial.
Okay, okay, Bergman, step away from the microphone. Disney just informed us that we can't use the word Oz without their permission. We're pulling the plug on your show.
And don't crush that dwarf. I have some pliers.
Those fiends!
But fear not, Baldy. You have a future writing comedy records, but you'll need some help. I suggest you gamble on a guy named Proctor. Yes, a soap opera actor who wants to sing on Broadway. And a character we shall call George LeRoy Tirebiter.
Time you called on George LeRoy Tirebiter. I must say, not insane!
Not insane!
Yes, like 25 other people in this country, I am running for vice president. You realize all of them are running for vice president. Then there's one vice president who's also running for vice president, except he is also running for president. This is very confusing. So all of us are running, but not all of us are not insane. Let me hear it for me. Not insane! So when you go to the polls, ladies and gentlemen, and you find my name missing, just write it in. George Tirebiter, he's not insane. Thank you very much.
And finally, to find the right bozos to get on your bus, you'll need the help of a private eye. I would suggest Nick Stranger, Third Eye, America's only detective.
Ooh, this is bad. The electrician is trying to pervert the organic flow of the timeline.
Organic perversion? Is that like...
Krupke? Everything you know is wrong. We must bring them back from the shadows.
Well, how do we do that?
Use astrologic. We must unite the four original members, Austin, Osman, Proctor, and Bergman, all fire signs, by the way, and let them do their thing. Put us in that studio.
Hey, what the heck is going on? Who are you?
Gentlemen, we have come here from the future, as have these two. But don't listen to them. They're attempting to keep you from becoming what you will become.
What? Land of Goshen. These bozos have come back in time to change our future?
Well, give me immortality or give me death.
But I thought we were going to be rich and famous someday.
Well, I thought maybe famous. I was hoping, you know.
You know, I can't tell you what's in your future. But I can tell you that none of it will happen if you listen to these two.
All right. Who are you guys?
Yes.
I am the electrician.
And I'm someone like him.
And I will fry you all. And you, Mr. Tirebiter, you'll get death, not immortality.
No, I wouldn't do that if I were you, electrician.
Oh, really? And why not?
Because these four invented you. If you wipe them out now, you yourself will never exist.
You wouldn't dare.
I've seen it happen thousands of times. But I wouldn't do that if I were you, electrician.
Much as it pains me to admit it, she may be right. I guess I'd better disappear before I disappear. So long.
Where'd he go? But I'll be back. And sure as I know there's a giant rat of Sumatra, I'll be back. And in the next world, yada yada!
And we'll be waiting for you, electrician!
Or someone like you.
Well, he's gone.
Yeah, for now.
I'll alert Hemlock Stones to look out for him.
Well, thank you, Watson.
Yes, sir.
And thank you, brave miss, for assuring us that we will be what we will be.
Or not to...
It was my pleasure. Oh. And I'll always be there for you.
Wait, lovely lady. What shall we call you?
Oh, let's just say I'm the Bride of Firesign. Ah. Come on, Krupke, back to the future!
Wow! She's gone!
Well, Phil...
What?
I wonder how many Grammys we'll get nominated for.
Oh,
I think,
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the WFHB Gospel Girls.
Something's happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear.
Добро пожаловать в Советский Союз!
Flew in from Miami Beach, B-O-A-C. Didn't get to bed. last night. On the way, the paper bag was on my knee. Man, I had a dreadful flight. I'm back in the USSR. Don't know how lucky you are, boys. Back in the USSR.
The place. Gee, it's good to be back home. Leave it till tomorrow to unpack my case. Honey, disconnect the phone.
I'm back in the USSR. Don't know how lucky you are, boys. Back in the US, back in the US, back in the USSR. Bow, bow, bow. Well, the Ukraine boys really knocked me out. They leave Moscow boys make me sing and shout. That's Georgia's always on my, 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 my.
Bow, bow, bow.
Well, the Ukraine boys really knock me out. They leave the rest behind.
Bow, bow, bow.
And the Moscow boys make me sing and shout. That Georgia's always on my, 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 my. Oh, show me to your snow-capped mountains way down south. Take me to your daddy's farm. Let me hear your balalakas ringing out. Come on, keep your comrade warm. I'm back in the USSR. Don't know how lucky you are, boys. Back in the USSR.
People sleeping in their shoes. Well, there's a warning sign on the road ahead. A lot of people saying we'd be better off dead. I don't feel like Satan, but I am to them. So I try to forget it any way I can.
Keep on rocking in the free world. Keep on rocking in the free world. Keep on rocking in the free world. Keep on rocking in the free on rocking in the free world.
It's 4:57, and you're listening to the WFHB Firehouse Follies, coming to you live from the Ivy Tech Waldron Weikart Auditorium, with support from Upland Brewing Company, the Bloomington Writers Guild, and Ivy Tech Community College, and additional support from the Graduate Hotel and Spring Hill Suites. Returning for a moment to our friend Amy Walker, after she completed her Shakespeare course, she took up revolutionary politics of the sort favored by the former Soviet Union.
Put the foot favored by good revolutionaries in. When the counter-revolutionaries come, take it temporarily out. From a good hiding place, send the foot back to the revolution. Confuse the enemy by shaking it well. Change hokey for pokey and falsely renounce revolutionary politics. That's what the revolution is all about.
Да здравствует хоки-поки!
And now, stay stoned for The Murder of the English in an original reduction by the Firehouse Follies. We take you to a stately English home on a typically beautiful English afternoon. Where a suitably stately group of English suspects, the immediate family of overly stately Lord and Lady Blitz, are having their rather stale, stately English tea time in the only room suitable for a sketch, the drawing room. Thank you. As our scene opens, stately English Detective Inspector Gridpipe Foley speaks.
Well, I suppose you might have
I say, ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? I'm sorry to interrupt your afternoon tea, but I'm sure you know why I've gathered all the Blitzes together here in an insufferable manner.
And who are you, sir, that you presume to bother us Blitzes?
Naughty, my boy. Mm-hmm. You do remember Detective Inspector Foley?
Not fully. I only have the faintest recollection.
No, darling boy. I mean, his name is Foley.
Foley what?
Quite.
Quite. That's enough, both of you. The inspector has graced us with his presence.
Oh, are there presents?
No, Cousin Cheeky. The inspector is here to ascertain how Mother was murdered in that tragic scavenger hunt accident.
Indeed, I am Miss Blitz. And I commend you for that succinct yet stately account of the situation as it stands now.
Oh, thank you, Inspector. But after all, it was written here in my script.
Yes, quite.
Oh, let's not start that again.
And you are Lillian Blitz, Lady of the Manor, I presume.
You certainly may, but not until after tea time.
Oh, yes. I have gathered you all here to present the results of my investigation into the untimely passing of Lady Gwendolyn Blitz, which occurred Wednesday last on or about 8:33 precisely.
But, Inspector, if it was truly untimely, how do you know it happened at 8:33?
I beg your pardon, my lord, but we don't have time for that joke.
Oh, precisely.
I say, excuse me, but are you saying that Mummy's dead?
Oh, dear, I apologize for my son Nottingham, Inspector Foley. I fear gambling has utterly ruined his memory.
Gambling?
Yes, he wagered he could jump out of an aeroplane without a parachute and land on a haystack. But wind and mist landed on his head.
Ah, the weather interfered.
No. On the way down, he broke wind and missed.
quite.
Quite, yes.
There's no help for him, I'm afraid, or for that joke.
Who is that woman?
Why, you naughty, naughty. Don't you remember me? I'm your cousin, Cheeky.
And she is now Lady Cheeky due to her recent betrothal to an earl.
No. He's not an earl. His name is Earl.
Oh, I see.
Earl Bottomside.
So you'll be Cheeky Bottomside? How quaint. You're taking a new position.
Only in society, dear. At least to start with.
Quite.
Please. Just one joke at a time. We really must move along the plot.
A plot? Is it mummies?
Oh, really, Naughty? This is such a grave matter. Sometimes you just make me want to plots.
Plot? Plot, did you say? Is there one? And you're hoping to dig around and uncover it, eh?
Oh, how delicious. Who's suspected?
You all are. And I'm going to interrogate you one by one.
Oh, what fun. Oh, who's on first?
I think you should integrate us.
Yes. Good God, man.
Segregate us.
What'd you say? Who's on first? I don't know.
I don't know. Oh, that's our shortstop.
Say what?
Wrong skit.
As I was saying, on the evening of Wednesday last, I was called here to investigate a murder.
A murder?
Yes, a murder.
I say, who's been murdered?
What are you talking about, dear brother? Our mother was murdered.
Mummy's dead!
Oh, dear, here we go again.
Quite!
Most inappropriate behavior, but there is a remedy. Spidgin.
You called, Sir Randolph?
Good Lord! Who is this? Why, he's only 3 foot tall.
Oh, the height-challenged individual is Smidgen, our butler.
Oh, thank you for telling me, and the audience.
If anyone's listening.
Smidgen, as you can see, Naughty is doing running gags again.
Quite.
Oh, dear. Could you whip up one of your restorative cocktails?
Yes, I have taken the liberty of preparing a Singapore sling, sir.
Oh, well done, Smidgen. Administer the remedy with all speed.
Very good, sir. If you would just chug this, sir.
What is it?
Mostly alcohol, sir.
Oh, thank goodness. Drink to me only with thine eyes, and I will chug a lug. Oh, excuse me.
Oh, dear. I've lost my place. Where are we?
We're in the drawing room, Cheeky. Oh. And the defective is here to arrest one of us for murdering Mother.
Mummy's dead?
Quite.
Well, Cheeky, here's my advice, dear. If you just keep your thumb next to your line,
you
won't lose your place.
Excuse me, but why are there 3 6-foot penguins in the garden? But I expect that will all become clear soon.
Quite. While Naughty's cocktail is still taking effect, shouldn't we be moving this story along?
Indeed, Miss Cheeky. As I was saying, I arrived and found Lady Blitz... Let me see. Yes, I found Lady Blitz dead.
Mummy's dead!
Yes, too late. Smidgen, administer another cocktail to Naughty.
A dark and stormy, sir?
For a night like this, I should think so. Yes. Thank you.
At first, it seems there were few clues beyond the inevitable half-burned railroad ticket, a clause of Irid, clipped from murderer's wanted column in last Monday's London Times, 5 orange pips, 4 calling birds, 3 maids a milking, 2 bars of Dove, and the Prime Minister, whom she had kidnapped from number 10 Downing Street before he was next on her list for the scavenger hunt.
The Prime Minister?
Yes.
The Prime Minister of England? The Prime Minister?
minister. What was his name?
Anthony Biggest Boner.
Prime Minister. Yes. Biggest Boner.
Yes, I'm afraid so, madam.
Can we say that on the radio?
We have to. It's right here in the script.
Well, and it's all right, too. His mother was a Biggest with two G's, and his father was a Boner with two N's.
Well, then it's all right.
Oh, finish your drink, Noddy.
Quite.
Yes. He was bound hand and foot and then blindfolded so he could not tell us anything about the identity of the killer, whom we suspect was of Latin descent.
Latin? Oh, I know Latin. Hic, haec, hoc, Louis, Dewey, Louis.
Enough, Dotty. Oh, he's been declining for years.
And so the killer must have been a Roman.
Exactly, sir. He was a Roman around the grounds when he came upon Lady Blitz.
I hope it wasn't a nice dress.
Well, it was a terribly posh scavenger hunt.
Excuse me. What was Mother doing hunting for scavengers?
Wait a minute. Now we're getting sound effects. Who did that? Who did that awful rim shot? It's you back there. Yes, you, the sound effects artist. Who let you in here? It's hard enough to wade through this awful sketch. Now, you throwing in your two cents as well. Good. How dare you? Out, you noisy reprobate. Don't milk it. I simply cannot abide sound effects artists.
Quite.
Yes. Smidgen.
Yes, sir.
A Pym's cup for my son.
Very good, sir.
Oh, no, he's already in his cups.
Oh, nice choreography. Yes, no matter how hard you try, just when you think you've gotten rid of them, sound effects, they spring up around you like weeds. Well, we should be safe for now. Drink up, Naughty.
Look.
As I was saying, with so little evidence, I had no choice but to use logic and reason to deduce the identity of the killer.
Oh, how frightful.
No, not really.
Yes, it is. I've lost my place again.
I told you where to put your thumb.
I know where to put my thumb.
I began by limiting my suspects to the people who occupy this room.
Excuse me. How can you be so sure it was one of us?
That's a very, very lucid question, Naughty.
Thank you for saying so, Mr. Penguin.
Oh, dear. Smidgen, a Sir Harvey Wallbanger this time, I think.
Very good, sir.
Yes. I knew it had to be one of you because you are the maximum number of actors the producers of this cheap ass program can afford.
Wait. The actors are paid.
No, not a cent.
Then I demand that you double my salary.
Oh, easily done.
And I'll have a Bloody Mary.
Don't pay actors. It only encourages them.
A double!
So there's one question left. Who among you could possibly have committed the crime?
No. I beg your pardon, Cheeky. See, that was my line. See, right here.
It says Paganini.
No, that's page 9.
Oh!
Page 9 from outer space!
Naughty Wood remind us of that awful movie.
No, I think that's Ed Wood. But this is on that level, granted.
Oh, dear. We've only got a page and a half to go.
Thank goodness!
Do tell us who done it before we're done with it.
Consider the facts.
Right.
You were all on the scavenger hunt, scattered about, trying to kidnap various politicians. The killer must have crept up on her.
You mean her girdle did it?
Thank you, God. The possibilities are obvious. Had you, Randy Blitz, taken the mistress?
What?
And murdered your wife to conceal the theft? And was Lil Blitz a siren hiding in the cellar?
No,
and
never.
What about Naughty Blitz? Was he bombed?
Quite.
Quite, yeah.
Is his alcoholism just an elaborate ruse to conceal a cold-blooded murderer?
Good Lord! You mean the penguins did it?
Oh, Smidgen, a zombie this time, if you would be so kind.
Yes, very good, sir.
Yes.
Yes. And for a short time, I even considered the little butler may have done it.
Oh, I say, sir, I must protest.
You mean good old Smidgen?
Surely not.
My name is not Shirley. Oh,
bravo, 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 bravo. I
think I can finally ask you, Inspector, who did done it?
Oh, the answer should be obvious by now, your lordship. The murderer is none other than... our sound effects artist, Sir Tony Brewer!
Gasp! Swoon!
Curses! Foiled again! But how? How did you know it was me?
Well, it was quite simple, really. I read the last page of the script first.
Oh, why didn't we do that?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Firehouse Rounders.
Hey, 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 hey. I'm going to tell you a little story here, people. My pappy said, son, you're going to drive me to drinking if you don't stop driving that hot rod Lincoln. Well, have you heard the story of the hot rod race when the Fords and Lincolns were setting the pace? That story is true. I'm here to say I was the guy driving the Model A. It's got a Lincoln motor and it's really souped up with that Model A body. It looks just like a pup. It's got 8 cylinders. Use them all. It's got overdrive. Just won't stall. It's got a 4-barrel carb and a dual exhaust. 111 gears, you can really get lost. I got safety tubes, but I ain't scared. Brakes are good. Tires fair. San Pedro late one night, the moon and the stars were shining bright. We was heading up Grapevine Hill, just passing cars like they were standing still. Well, all of a sudden, in a wink of an eye, a Cadillac passed us by. I said, boy, that's a mark for me, but the taillight was all you could see. Fellas was ribbing me for being behind, so I thought I'd let that Lincoln unwind. I took my foot off the gas, man alive, dropped it down into overdrive. So I wound it up to 110. The speedometer said I hit top end. My foot was blue like it was glued to the floor. That's all there is, there ain't no more. Now the boys all thought I'd lost my scent, cause the telephone poles looked like picket fence. They said, slow down, I see spots. Dots on the road look just like dots. Took a corner side, swiped a truck, crossed my fingers just for luck. My fenders was clicking the guardrail posts. Guy beside me was white as a ghost. Well, smoke was coming from out of the back when I started to gain on that Cadillac. I knew I could catch him, I thought it could pass. Wouldn't you know, I was about out of gas. We had flames coming in from out of the side. I said, feel the tension, man, what a ride. Look out, boys, I got a license to fly. Caddy pulled over and let us by. Now all of a sudden, she started knocking down in the dips. She started rocking. I looked in my mirror, red light was blinking. Cops were trying to stop my red-hot Lincoln. They arrested me and they put me in jail. I told my daddy, said, get my bail. He said, son, you're gonna drive me a drinking. You don't stop driving that hot Rod Lincoln. Hot Rod. That's the Hot Rod Lincoln.
I don't know about you two, but a campfire and my trusty bottle are just about all I need after a long day of wrestling this herd of cats for 300 feet.
Yep. Cats is hard to herd. Pass me that bottle over here, Joe.
There you go, Frank. Well, we ain't heard a peep out of you all week. What have you been working on?
Well, if you really want to know, I've been working on myself.
Wait a minute. Come again.
I said I've been working on myself.
Don't do that.
About 2 months ago, I had what I now understand was a major depressive episode.
A major what?
A depressive episode. And let me tell you, if you never had one, be grateful. It's about as far from a good time as you're ever going to get.
Depression, huh? So that's why you ain't been riding so tall in the saddle lately. And I cannot recall the last time we got a good old proper yodel out of you.
So you're sad all the time?
That's just the start of it. Depression can include a whole heap of symptoms. Some are emotional, like feeling sad, but you've also got your cognitive symptoms, like poor concentration, and your physical symptoms, like insomnia and change in appetite.
Major depressive disorder.
So, what do you do about something like that?
Well, I went up to see old Doc Parker over in Garden City, and he started me on 25 milligrams of Zoloft.
Them happy pills straighten you out?
Well, I started sleeping and eating better, but then I found myself overwhelmed with a pervasive unease and a general sense of ennui.
Ennui? What the hell's ennui when it's at home?
That there, Frank, is a French term. It means boredom or melancholy.
Well, why in the hell didn't you just say boredom or melancholy? Why you gotta get all Frenchified on us?
Now, Frank, just let him be. Can't you see he's having a hard time already? Don't mind him, Will. Just go on with what you're saying.
So Doc Parker says most depressed folks respond best to a combination of medication and talk therapy. So he referred me to a therapist.
A head shrinker? So now you gotta go and spill your guts to a stranger? Don't that just beat the bark out of a dead dog?
You say what you want, Frank, but it's been healing and liberating. And I reckon you could use a little Connie Schellenberger yourself.
I bet you could.
Connie Schellenberger?
That's my therapist. Connie Schellenberger, LMFT. That woman has helped me understand important things about myself.
Yeah? Like what?
Like the fact that an absence of supportive relationships can contribute to depression.
Hold on there, Will. Did you say no supportive relationships?
That's exactly what I said, Joe.
Oh, come on, give me a break. Tarnation, Will. After all we've been through, you got the nerve to sit there on that stump like the old chucklehead you are and hand us a load of claptrap about a lack of support?
What the blazes do you mean? We've been herding cats together longer than I can remember, and we always stood by each other.
Stealing my wife, Joe? Does that sound like support? Shooting me in the foot, Frank? Does that sound like support?
Dagnabbit, Will. Things like that happen to cowboys.
Yeah. There ain't no use getting all worked up about it.
This discussion is going nowhere. And quite frankly, I'm not feeling like I'm being understood or my concerns are being validated. But here's someone who can help.
Howdy, partners.
Well, who in Hades are you, lady?
That there's the aforementioned Connie Schellenberger. She's gonna do group therapy to get this emotional baggage straightened out.
Group therapy? Hell, we're cowboys.
Yeah, we drink and spit and eat beans and pass wind. We don't do no group therapy.
That was a good one.
Group therapy, cowpokes. William here just told me all about you fellas, so I figured we could sit around the campfire, get to know each other a little, and figure out how y'all can be supportive of your friend in his time of need. Pass me that bottle. Now, I understand you've been friends a long time, but William has entered a period of crisis and vulnerability. So how about we start having William describe what he's been going through? Now, Frank, Joe, all you need to do is listen, and I mean really listen, because William needs your understanding and supportive feedback. Now, are we ready?
Well, all right, I reckon.
Go ahead, William. Share your friends.
Well, depression is like a tumbleweed of lonesome sorrow that follows you around wherever you go. It's like your cowboy pride and your get up and go have all got up and went, and you're left barren and bereft, a sorrowful shell of the cowboy you used to be. And then just putting one foot in front of the other, it becomes a struggle. And it's about then that
I don't know how much more of this I can take.
Yeah, well, what say you just shut your trap before you make the rest of us as depressed as you are?
You fellas think the marks like that are going to help your friend?
Well, lady, you don't know squat about how us cowboys deal with our problems. We got a whole nother take on this. Will, when was the last time you let out a good cowboy yodel?
I told you, Frank. I just haven't been up for that sort of thing.
Well, you know what? I think you got it backwards. You don't stop yodeling because you're depressed. You got depressed because you quit yodeling.
Well, I don't... I
tell you what, Joe, hand me that there guitar.
We was doing just fine without the guitar.
Just hand me the dang guitar. As I was out driving these cats on the prairie, I felt some depression coming along. I grabbed my old guitar and I let out a yodel. I weren't very good, but it made me feel strong. A yodel-ay, a yodel-ay. Everybody yodel, come on!
A yodel-ay, a yodel-ay.
Don't that make you feel strong? Ha.
Now that's what I was talking about, Will. Feel better?
Oh, by gone, if I don't. Miss Connie, I reckon I'm cured. I won't be needing your services anymore.
I bet you will.
But would you be willing to step out with me?
Why, William, I'd love to. I always wanted to be a cowboy sweetheart. I wanna be a cowboy sweetheart. I wanna learn to drive them cats. I wanna ride my horse and yodel and give up those dang yoga mats.
All right, everybody, give us one more yodel.
Let's check in with Amy Walker, who by now has given up revolutionary politics for a job at an A-Mart.
Attention, A-Mart shoppers. Do you really need all that crap? Insert your left foot through our door, then remove just for a while. Now put it back, for there are bargains galore. And from excitement chic, but with a smile. From shelf to shelf, search for something to buy. Now with a hokey on a pokey, to the register high. You have saved on peanuts and sauerkraut. As bargain hunters always know, this is what it's all about.
Now it's time for a peek into life as it's lived in flyover country.
Mommy? Mommy? I want a motorcycle.
A motorcycle? But dear, you're too young. Those things are dangerous.
Mommy, I was born to be wild. I want to tool down the highway with the wind in my hair.
Well, I'm sure you do, dear. If only we hadn't been forced to shave your head to get rid of those lice.
I want a motorcycle. I want it now, and if I don't get it, I'll ride down in front of your car till you run me over.
Don't tempt me. Dear, I'm afraid you can't have a motorcycle, and that's final.
I want.
Well, sounds like she's missing her muffler, Mommy.
You again. Someday I'm going to figure out how you always show up at moments like these. Anyway, I can't possibly get her a motorcycle. They're just too dangerous.
And that's why Fiddlin' Joe is so important to you, Mommy.
Oh, is he making motorcycles now?
Oh, heavens to Hartley's no. They're too dangerous. But he does have this nifty line of tricycles. Look, they got streamers on the handlebars. And playing cards in the spokes. And a pedal she can step on to make it sound like the engine's revving up. Vroom, vroom, vroom. We call it the trike. The tyke trike bike.
Well, it does look clever, but I'm not sure she'll fall for it.
Oh, Mommy, I want a tyke trike. It's rad, Mommy. Rad and bad.
Well, let me think about it.
Well, that's not all, Mommy. It comes complete with a Mommy motorcycle all dressed up to look like a real motorcycle.
Very impressive, and the Kickstarter is a nice touch. I must admit, I am tempted.
Well, this is a bicycle town, Mommy, and you and little Precious here can break away together.
Oh, Mommy, let's do it. Let's hit the road for adventures, like Thelma and Louise.
Oh, yeah, and one other thing I think you'll like.
What's that?
The purchase of this mother-daughter combo entitles you to a whopping 7.3% discount at your next visit to the brand-new Arby's Roadkill-A-Go-Go Mobile Dining Experience Center.
Mobile Dining Experience Center?
Well, some folks call them food trucks. But Fiddlin' Joe realizes that the mobile dining experience centers are the wave of the future. Plus, he can stay one step ahead of the health department if he keeps them moving.
Well, we do like Arby's Roadkill-A-Go-Go.
Let's do it, Mommy. I love the flattened armadillo with fries. They're fender wicking gold.
Well, if you like that, then you might be interested in the grilled possum, too. You can put it all on your Fiddlin' Joe charge card, Mommy.
Sure. I mean, it's not like it's real money anyway. Here you go, then. Put it on the card.
All right. And thanks, as always, for using Fiddlin' Joe Enterprises. We'll see you real soon, I hope.
You're doing too well, Shrepper. Oh, Mommy. I love you, and I love Fiddlin' Joe, and I love Flattened Armadillo.
Thank you.
It's time to get a little highbrow on you folks.
And now, dear friends, a return to the classics. We're all indebted to the noble BBC for nurturing modern classical writers like Tom Stoppard, Dylan Thomas, Spike Milligan. Well, the Beeb has also naturally and repeatedly presented the old bard's canon, consisting, I don't know, 20 or so now practically unintelligible plays, the words of which somehow continue to be performed as if somehow they had a life of their own.
And yet, inexplicably, unproduced by the Beeb, is a forgotten, even lost Shakespearean comedy, Anything You Want To. You heard of it? Well, it was only produced once, some 40 years ago, by the Hock Flemish radio players.
And today, we'd like to recreate some of that historic production right here with Lady Amy Walker as Sweet Marie, the Right Honorable Brian Roberts in the role of Hole, Lord Richfish as Mole, Sir Proctor of Goshen as Edmund, and a fulsome cast, all members of the Congress of Grave Makers and Coarse Actors, Local 1302. I'm George Tirebiter.
Thank you, George. We begin with the unjustly infamous graveyard scene, wherein we meet the gravediggers Hole and Mole. Hole has a lengthy monologue often used as an audition piece in regional theaters, which we will skip. Moving directly to the body, as it were, of the scene. Here, Mole approaches the grave that Hole is digging, or the other way around, who cares, they're interchangeable. And he calls down to him.
Yar, down there, Mole! Riddle me this one.
Right, ho. I cannot dig and think together. I'll stop. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm stopping.
Uh-huh.
I've stopped.
Why? Why is your common gravedigger like onto your coarse common actor?
Because we're in the same guild.
Yeah, you're right. Well, we share the same guild, that's true, but that's not funny. That's not the funny answer, Maggot Pay.
Here's a bone.
Oh.
That's humorous.
Yeah.
I thought she looked for truth.
Oh, no, your horse son gravemaker's like onto your play actor because we both must undertake to please the groundlings in the pit.
Ah, well, that's not funny, Hole. What's funny is we're in the same union. I always thought so. I brought it up at meeting last night.
No, but don't lumber me with labour talk. Leave that box of bones up here, for the plague goes on.
Ah, then we are like to ushers in God's globe, for we must turn all the crowd and clear the boxes and make room for late arrivals.
Oh, there. Good constables of death.
Tis abdicated Edmund.
What? Still here, my lord?
Doff thy wig and gravel at his feet, Mole.
Canst tell me where along these avenues, these tracks of marble homes, these golden arches, resides my late pal, Ned?
Oh, well, address him here, within this very oaken box, your grace.
Oh, we fresh evicted him from out his sunken living room.
Ooh, then open me the door to his retreat, good worms, that I might a relic take, a token of our friendship past.
Nay, sir, we cannot begin a coffin break, for yon great clapper signals now a union lunch for clowns and clods alike. Let's off, Mole.
I will be off.
Come on, then.
I'm going off.
Come on.
I'm almost off.
All right.
I'm off.
And so, with the quaint rustics removed to the green room, Clown Prince Edmund sits upon the edge of Neddy's grave to deliver his existential soliloquy. What is reality?
the happy lumps. They jest as if to say that death's not real. What is reality? 'Tis but this realty bought for such an awful price, and subdivided thus but 6 by 6 by 3. But where's the room for me? Royalty, sans realty. I'd stay, yet go I must. If I lived here with Ned, I'd never leave, for I'd be home by now. Knock, knock. Who's there? What? Ned? Still dead? Come, let me pull thy leg, and I will show thee Norway. Oh, what times we'll have. I'll talk. You'll lend an ear. There's still one left. I'll fill your empty skull with drink and toast a skull to every midnight schoolgirl that I see. What say you, pretty Ned? Nothing, huh? No thing, huh? No thing thou art. 'Tis fitting thou should speak so soft, and yet I'll hear thee.
Edmund?
I hear thee!
And who should enter but his sweet cousine Marie, carrying a bursting picnic basket? She calls out,
Why sit thee in that box and play thus with thy bone, my lord?
Why, cous Marie?
Come, I've a box for thee. It is filled with sweetest meats and buttered buns.
Ooh.
I've love-crossed clams and French-style jelly roll.
Yum.
Let us pick a crypt and spread a checkered cloth and lay us down to eat.
What a sudden appetite inspires thee thus to spread thy dainties out upon this hallowed ground?
A last sup, my lord?
Alas.
And I would your St. Judas be, thus to kiss thee off.
By that account, my nunc the count would thus St. Peter be, for he has bid me 3 times adieu, or Chanticleer arose.
I've a budding rose or 3 myself, my lord.
Ooh.
And Chanticleer as well.
What?
That cock will rise no more. His breast lies broasted in my hamper here, with bangers drowned in beer.
Ah, thy tempting tongue doth het me up. Yet ghastly orders from my holy father's ghost oblige me to take this food to go.
Had I revealed such flesh to thee as that apparent apparition showed to me, you'd not run off, but stop and eat it here.
Speakest thou of communion, dear virgin maid?
Come, pray, that I might be thy host, that thou couldst take me upon your tongue.
I have the blood for it, if you've the wine.
Within my unspoiled chalice, let's transubstantiate.
Oh, to hell with that! Let's do it here!
On hallowed ground, my lord?
Fear not. I'll rise like Lazarus, uncorrupted, clean.
And I shall rise corrupted, but a queen.
Well, I'm sure you all know the way this is going. But everything you think you know is wrong. I haven't told you about the banished Edmund's twin brother, his rival Edmund, nor about the Archbishop of Phlegm, who now opposes the Count on the field of battle.
Shakespeare solved this dramatic dilemma by using a familiar Elizabethan theatrical device, a tableau vivant.
Mm-hmm.
Many seekers have found unusual parallels in this to recent mergers in our very own Holywood.
And let me add a brief note of listener's caution, because nearly every word means more than it appears.
Quite.
Sorry. And now... Never be sorry.
Wrong skit.
No, right. Who's on first? Always you. I know, yes.
Hey, Abbott!
All right. And now, here's another character change. Oh, my gosh. And now, if you please, I shall enter my court as King of Phlegm.
Partners, all,
projectors of our new crowned estate, once only Castle Phlegm, it mortgaged by Wells Fargo to the hilt, is now by our decree Imperium Phlegmaticum Presents and takes its rightful place of fiscal power among both majors and dependents. A conglomerate of interests like fox and mouse are herewith merged. We'll take on fortune and yet not see it splurged. And now, to keep eternal peace amongst us all, we'll stage an interactive war. And such a moving picture of a war we see that only we can frame it focused on our inner eye. A spectacle of arms, a proxy war to end all debts, an exercise to lead us Moses-like from out a sea of red and guide our columns up to inky black.
You need some stars to lead the way. The Duke of Wayne's long gone. Chewbacca's dead.
We'll find new names above the titles, Fairfax.
The products of this realm of late have not been well distributed. I losses have sustained.
The capital tax upon the Indies' gains hath done deliberate damage to our stock.
Ah, we hear thee, Lord Mayor Burbank, lofty Mulholland. Know that we shall pledge such guarantees from all the houses in our realm that our investment will secure your safe return.
I'm not so sure.
And further, we will no concessions take, but leave the popcorn all to you.
Right then, it's a deal.
And let us not forget to leave our great director's cut to him alone.
Let us now our companies join.
Huzzah!
Our merchants, ivory, books no one has read.
Oh, my castle rocks with this good news.
Sound men have I. A second unit I'll supply. Ah.
And when we come to grips, I hold the key.
Oh, thanks, studious Burbank, for throwing in thy lot. A Buena Vista do I spot.
I've honey wagons, suite and carts and vans, a crew of ancient gaffers, best boys added to your supply, and 1,000 extras more shall offer up, men who ride a horse, and if they fall, they'll rise to do their stunts again. Do call, but action, and we'll roll them, sire.
We'll shoot by night, as if it were by day. I've 100 points, and so I'll give new lines to every faithful Highland border laird. A universal gesture, paramount to none. And yes, you'll more than gold win, Mayor. Lords and nobles, united artists at the end. And if this dream works, 1, 2, 3, the final credits we shall live to see.
Huzzah!
We'll have to skip the battle scenes. They're both terribly commercial.
Too commercial. No.
We can't do them here.
And it's all CGI
anyway. And we'll wend our final moments to the end of Act 5 of Anything You Want To. Clown Prince Edmund, who is returned from his banishment, is left alone in the radiant glow of active alchemy. He contemplates his uncle's remains and considers the futility of power.
What's this? My nuncle Count? He's out for the count. He's stiff as he can be and dead as vaudeville. Oh, sneaky death, to nip him like a glass of bud. How flat, Scruggs, and impotable seem to me all the ales of this world. He's gone. Dead as a donut, this holy man. And only I am left, who took a nap a fool and woke a king. But king of what? shall need some friends, and we shall jointly to our nation's tattered standards make amends and share the burden of my unseasonable rule. Power? I'll hand it to the people. Let them wield the tool. And policy? My policy, a play untried as yet but true, not just do this or don't do that, but anything you want to!
Ladies and gentlemen, we're very fortunate to have a bit more time from Amy and Nippon Cuttlefish.
Well, it's nigh on season change time, so we have a little song for you to ring in the new season.
Summertime and the living is easy. Fish are jumping and the cotton's high. Your daddy's rich and your ma's good looking. So hush, little baby, don't you cry. One of these mornings you're gonna rise up singing. Then you'll spread your wings and take to the sky. But till that morning, there's nothing can harm you with daddy and mommy standing is high. Your daddy's rich and your ma is good looking. So hush, little baby, don't you cry. One of these mornings you're gonna rise up singing. You'll spread your wings and take to the sky. But till that morning, there's nothing can harm you with daddy and mommy standing by. Oh, don't you cry. It's summertime. So hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back no more, no more, no more, no more. Hit the road, Jack, don't be coming back no more. Now, baby, oh, baby, don't you treat me this way. I'll be back on my feet someday. I guess if you say so, I have to pack my things and go. But hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back no more, no more, no more, no more. Hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back no more. Oh, baby, now, baby, don't you treat me this mean. You're the meanest old thing I ever seen. I guess if you say so, I have to pack my things and go. Hit the road, Jack. Don't you come back no more, no more, no more, no more. Hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back no more. Don't you come back no more. Don't be coming back no more. Cause it's summertime. Got lots of cicadas apparently in summertime. Around in Bloomington. It's a little moist around Bloomington in the summertime. So for people like us with hair from L.A., what do you do about the frizz in summertime? But we'll be coming back some more.
Hey, let's hear it one more time for Amy and Matt Nippon. Friends, Ralph Spallsport, Ralph Spallsport Motors, the world's largest used, nude, and nude-lewd automobile dealership, Ralph Spallsport Motors, here in the city of Emphysema. Let's just take a look at this totally used driverless car. Two-way sneeze-through wind vents, stud-studded mud guards, and factory air-conditioned air from our fully air-conditioned factory. It's a steal, folks. In fact, I stole it. But you can have it for only $999 every month for a year. Listen, I want to thank you all for being here this evening for me and... Come on up, David. For me and David. Please.
Our super pleasure, believe me.
It's really thanks to Richard Fish and Mike Kelsey here that we're here tonight.
Thank you both. And we also need to pay tribute to this show, which has been going on now for... 11 years.
And on and on and on and on. No, it is an amazing opportunity for us and for me to return to my home state, pardon me, of Indiana. It's not funny. Okay. It's moving. But the reason that we love to play Indiana and the Midwest in general is that you have the weirdest senses of humor.
I tell you, there were jokes tonight I was so grateful that somebody got. You know, it was just wonderful. Your laughs, that worked. Oh, geez. Yeah, you're out here, and we all had like the one line you had to pay. You know, you had one word you had to pay off.
Yeah. The only way we're getting paid for this show.
Yeah, just word by word. That's the only thing. I think it's a penny a word now, or is it going up
it's
to
a,
2 cents?
No, it's a half a cent a word.
Half a cent a word.
It's,
well, there you go.
And because of the tariffs, they've removed a certain amount. It's
I get it.
A little less. If you speak in Spanish, you don't get paid at all. No, sir.
No,
impossible at all. Impossible.
The other side of the wall.
That's right.
You're down there. That's right.
Up against the wall. That's where we are, folks, you know. Anyway.
Again, really, thank you for coming tonight. Thank you for those of you who showed up last night and the night before.
At the Brown County Playhouse, a wonderful venue.
That was great.
Oh, and one more thing. We do have some merchandise out there, and David and I will be happy to sign things for you and chat a little bit after the show out in the lobby. All right? Thank you again, everybody.
Yeah. Good night.
That's our show for today, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks to Ivy Tech Community College for its support of this show, to J. Lynn Designs for our poster, and to
White Rabbit for printing the posters and our programs. We'd also like to thank a couple of good friends of the Follies, Upland Brewing Company, and the Bloomington Writers Guild. Thanks also go to the Graduate Hotel and Spring Hill Suites for putting up our special guests, and to Carson Barbecue, D'Angelo's, and Lenny's for feeding us. Very special thanks go to all our distinguished guests, David Osmond and Phil Proctor. And to Gary Sandy, and to Amy Walker, and Nippon Nair. Thanks to the WFHB Gospel Girl, Suzette Weasley, Ginger Curry, and Sarah Flynn. The Firehouse Rounders were Carolyn Dutton on fiddle, Ross Martini Eiler on piano and vocals, Jason Fickle on guitar, Ron Kadish on bass, John Valdez on drums, and David Withard on saxophone. The unusual suspects were Emily Bedwell, Mark Blackwell, Richard Fish, Betty Greenwell, Mike Leonard, Kathy Norton, Brian Roberts, Becky Staff, Dan Salvaggi, and Tom Trent. Sir Tony Brewer provided sound effects. House sound was by Jim Lang, and radio sound by Jeffrey Sundog Morris. Our technical crew was Ilza Ackerbergs, Marion Connedy, Chris Hahn, and Dan Withers, with invaluable assistance from Joe Bollinger. Studio engineer was Emily Wonder Woman Jackson. Today's show was written by Mr. Stuffinopagus and the residents of the Occupy Sesame Street home for Over the Hill Riders. Stage manager was Dan G. Mansellaggi, and our director was Richard Fish. The show is produced by Mike Kelsey. Our theme song is Firehouse Blues, written by Jason Pickle. For WFHB, I'm Dan Salvaggi, reminding you to save the date of August 25th for the next